I'm just gonna get my hair in the sun. Can you hear us? Yes.
Oh. She loved these big fancy rooms. So. Nosebleed section, a couple of people up there. Hi, my name's Alistair Spears. I'm a program manager at Microsoft in the Microsoft Office division. I'm here with Yoni Kirsch.
Thanks, Alistair. My name's Yoni Kirsch. I'm an Office 365 MVP. I work for Fast Track Technology down in Sydney.
So today we're going to talk about the new Office deployment model. And the update management that goes along with it. So there are pretty significant changes in the new version of Office. We haven't changed the way you deploy Office since Office 2000. You know, so this is the first time we really have a 21st century look at deployment and update management in Office. So it's a pretty significant change. You know, and I think it solves a lot of the problems that a lot of users have already. So perhaps before we even show you any slides, let's show you what that looks like. Do you want to
absolutely
jump in? Now, who's using the new version of Office already in the preview? And who's deployed it from Office 365? A couple of people? Yep. Okay, great. So, let's jump over and have a look, Yoni.
Mm-hmm.
Which number are you?
Okay, just do it from the board. I'm on number 8. Thanks, Alistair. All right, so to give you an idea of the new deployment model for Office 365 Pro Plus, I'm going to jump in here to the portal. So from the admin portal, just found myself in my site here, you have to give me a second. You'll notice that the previous admin portal for Office 365, you had a download link, users could go there and they could download the full MSI installs of Office 365 Pro Plus and run them locally on their machine. In this case, the behavior is a little bit different. So this is a standard Windows 7 machine. We're connected to the live production Office 365 portal. And you can see pretty quickly that we didn't download 680 odd megabytes of Office just then. We downloaded about 400 kilobytes of Office just then. That's just the bootstrapper file, and that has all the configuration that's needed to download the rest of the Office bits, stream the rest of the Office bits down to our computer, which is exactly what's going on right now. The really exciting part of this is that unlike traditional click-to-download installations, we don't actually have to wait for the download to finish in order to start using our Office applications. So we really only have about 1 to 2 minutes of installation that needs to take place before we can start working in Office 2013.
Mm.
Which is a big shift from the 45 minutes, in some case even more, that you would need to run an Office 2010 installation. So in this case, you can see that we've got the full setup display running because we're doing a portal-based install. And it's just going to connect to our account, and then we can go ahead and open some Office applications.
So it's pretty simple, so much faster than you were used to do. You know, straight away, we're working with the application, you know, we're working through it. We're doing a whole lot of magic here behind the scenes. We're streaming in the background. We're asking the user a few questions to make it feel like we're getting more of the application download in advance. But that's really the vision. You know, that's where we want to get to. Deploying Office. Office is an app. Apps should be easy to deploy. It's not like you're deploying a new operating system. You know, that can be complicated. But Office should be simple. You know, and that's really where we're trying to get to in this new release.
Which is, and I was just going to launch an app there really quick. Which, to me at least, is really exciting. We've gone from a point of having to download and run 45 minutes worth of installation to a place where, in a space of about 90 seconds or 2 minutes, I can sit down at a computer, open up a Word document, and there we go. We're working. This is not a web app. This is nothing. This is actually the full Microsoft WinWord executable running locally on our machine, and away we go. So there you have it.
Thanks, Yoni. Yeah. So that's as simple as it has to be. So what we'll cover today is this new click-to-run installation, a little bit more detail, how you can still set up, customize, deploy it, and manage it in an enterprise environment. You probably don't want to be sending all your users to a website to manage their own software installations. And if you don't, we'll show you how to do it in a more managed fashion. We'll also integrate with software distribution tools. We'll show you how that works. We basically just want to show you a whole bunch of demos. Feel free to throw questions at us. We've got a bunch to cover. This is a pretty big topic. It's a pretty cool technology, and it's pretty new. So to kind of back up a bit, deployment's kind of hard. Who's using Office? Who's an IT admin today? Is responsible for desktop deployments? A couple of people. Yep. Who's rolled out Office 2010 to their users? A few people. And who did 2007 and 2003? Yeah, and so every 3 years we kind of jump on this train and deploy all this software.
Who had fun?
But these sorts of, no hands.
No hands.
But these sort of questions always come up, right? Will your files work? What about app compat? What about all the customizations and the add-ins I have to worry about? Like, what about all these new devices that I'm getting? Is it mobile phones? Is it tablets? You know, is it desktops, laptops? Show of hands, who's got more users than PCs? Couple of people. And who has more PCs than users?
Who has a bunch of users and doesn't actually know how many PCs they're using? One guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Being honest, yeah. So, you know, how do you handle this? How do you handle this multiple device world when we're still stuck in this world of managing devices, where it's clearly the kind of consumerization, the price point of these devices has dropped so low that users are kind of self-medicating their IT needs here. And so how do you manage that in a proper enterprise? And you know, probably one of the biggest challenges we see is, wouldn't it be easy to do nothing? We have a lot of organizations still sitting on XP in 2003. Anyone in the room in that boat? You know, that's a challenge. We're running out of time. You know, we provide a pretty good 5-year plus 5-year extended support policy. We're coming to the end of that 10-year period, and after that, you're kind of on your own. So it's a big challenge now to get off these old platforms onto something new. And really break this treadmill cycle of having to do all this work, of worrying about app compat, worrying about deployment, worrying about patches the first Tuesday of every month, all that sort of thing. It's hard work. So when we think about Click to Run, there's a couple of things that we'll talk about here, about being local administrators, you know, the tools you're using for software deployment. There is a difference between subscription perpetual, and there's some pretty big concerns about identity management. So we'll talk through all of these as we go through the session as well. But really, I want to paint you the picture of the kind of different approaches here as well. This, you know, it's a paradigm shift, if you like. But in the past, we used MSI deployment. We used MSI deployment since Office 2000. It was a great deployment technology. We like to think that we were really the first big product to use MSI. We took MSI to the masses. We made MSI mainstream.
Well, in fact, as a matter of fact, the Office division owned MSI at that stage.
For quite some time,
It was only later that it got passed over to the Windows.
You know, and it had the benefit of you could install a full version of Office in only 30 to 45 minutes. You didn't have to worry about swapping out the 45 floppy disks that came with Office 97. You know, it took us to CDs. It took us to DVDs. It took us to digital downloads. And, you know, it was a very fast and painless 30-minute install. But as we move forward, Click to Run, we're doing that same approach in about 2 minutes to get up and running and fully productive in the environment in a much faster time. We used MSI for quite some time. It was fairly robust, fairly well known. I'm sure many of you are experts at how to handle the MSI technology that we've been doing over the the last 10 years. But Click to Run is now the primary installation type for the new Office. This will be the installation type going forward. For enterprise customers, we'll still provide you the MSI. You can still use the MSI if you're not ready to jump into this new model yet. But Click to Run is our model going forward. It's so much faster and so much easier to do rather than just managing a big complex process. So Click to Run is also linked to Office 365. And we'll talk a little bit more about this later on. But essentially here, if you want to move away from a scenario where you're managing devices and you can manage users instead, Office 365 is our way to do it. No longer do you have to buy a copy of Office for every PC in your organization. You can manage it via users. And generally, it's easier to count people than devices. And so you can just know, you can scale up. You can essentially provide a sandbox where users can either deploy their own software or you can manage it so that they can get the software deployed to their devices as well. But we're moving away from this model of device-based licensing to this model of user-based licensing so that you can light up more services. You know, so you can light up Office services on a phone, Office services on a tablet, Office services on a PC, Office services on a Mac. You can do all of that with a user-based approach rather than having a device-centric approach in Office deployment. So we activate by user as well. That's a fairly big difference. We're not telling the device that it's allowed to use Office. We're telling the user they're allowed to use Office on whichever devices they want or whichever devices you allow them to. So again, fairly big shift in the approach that we take to Office. And again, MSI, one of the benefits is that it's highly customizable. You can do all sorts of fancy things with MSI. You know, there are 4,000 different group policies and preferences and settings that you can apply to customize that installation as much as you want. How many do you actually use? Maybe one, maybe two?
Five.
Maybe five, yeah. I met one organization, it had hundreds of thousands of PCs, they customized one thing. They turned off HTML, email, and Outlook. That was their only customization to Office for 100,000 PCs. So, you know, we have all this capability, but it adds complexity. And the last thing we need right now is complexity when we're trying to manage all these new devices, these new types of computing that we have to manage. And let's face it, when you add a mobile phone for every user in your organization, and perhaps conceivably in 5 years' time you'll be adding a tablet to everyone in your organization, all of a sudden you're managing three devices. And I can tell you right now that the IT department staff is not going to triple in the next 5 years. But the sorts of devices that we need to manage, we need to control will. So we need to be a lot smarter about some of these tools. Click to Run's also highly customizable as well, but in slightly different ways. So that's another thing. We have to essentially unlearn some of the things that we've done in the past and embrace this new model as well. And we'll talk a little bit about this later. But group policies are all still there. We still have those 4,000 group policies for you to play with if you like. But we don't think you need to do that anymore. You know, there should be only a couple that you need to apply, and maybe only in specific circumstances. MSI was great because it allowed local apps to interact with it as well. In an MSI model, you've essentially got add-ins and customizations and plugins from CRM systems, SAP systems, and all sorts of other things. And who has plugins and add-ins in Office today in their organization? Anyone got the Bluetooth one in Outlook? That's a fun one. But there are all these add-ins. And traditionally, with a click-to-run approach or an app V approach in the past, you essentially isolate these apps so they can't interact with each other. But click-to-run allows local apps to interact with it. It's the same as MSI. It's app V with a lot more capabilities on top of it as well. So it really improves that experience. A big deal as well, you know, app V in the past. And who's tried app V in the past? A couple of people as well. You know, app V packaging for Office was not a simple thing. You know, it was fairly complex to get app V and Office working together well. And you have to deploy the app V infrastructure. You'd have to buy the app V infrastructure. You'd have to manage that. What we're doing in Click to Run, we're building that app V capability right into the Office deployment. So Office will deploy. It will deploy with this app V componentry that's a little bit customized to make that sequencing so that you don't have to worry about that sequencing process. But it doesn't require you to have app V. It doesn't require you to have MDOP. You can just get all the benefits of using that with Office without needing any of these extra components as well.
And that really was a challenge, especially over the last couple of years. We've been talking to a lot of customers out in the field who really had concerns from a file compatibility, had concerns from a user adoption and a user education point of view, that they would struggle to push Office 2010 at the time out to their users overnight and have them adopt it, have their files work, have their add-ins and macros function correctly, and have the users pick the technology up and be able to be productive with it. So we certainly were striving over the last couple of years to carry out some of these App V applications. It had a lot of promise to it. We were thinking, hey, look, if we can sequence these Office bits using App V, we can stream them down to people's machines. They can run side by side with previous versions of Office, and that would be fantastic. If someone was working in a Word document, they couldn't find the functionality they were looking for, all they need to do is close that document, open it up again in Word 2003, and they can continue to be productive while the shift takes place. Mm. But the challenge was that the process of actually sequencing App V was so manual and so granular and so complex that even with days and days and days spent working on it, we still were coming across challenges. Now, just to give you a really quick idea of what that looks like, what I've got here is actually the TechNet article. So the TechNet article that's published on TechNet for how to sequence Office 2010 using App V. And you'll see it's a really simple process. All you need to do is make sure you have all these prerequisites, then go through and figure out which version you're going to sequence, set a few registry keys in the correct place, kick off the right wizard processes, add these things here. Just decide which one of these particular options you'd like to install, run a couple of MSIs, do some more sequencing, go through here, go here, it goes on and 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 on. And you get the idea, it was not a simple process.
Yeah. So we really wanted to take that down to one step. Yeah. One step is as simple as it can be for the user to click install and have that to carry on. So, yeah, fairly big change in the way we've approached this development. You know, once upon a time, App V was like a nice to have. It was this great, cool technology that we'll work with to try and get to work. But we've repackaged the entire Office client as a click to run package. We've built it with that in mind. So it's a much easier approach for you guys to manage that sort of tool.
So we've already done the next demo that we had up for you. So why don't I speak through really quickly how the new App V model hangs together and what's really happening at a high level. So the column missing from these boxes up here is the MSI installation. So with the MSI installation, you download the installers, you click it, you either have some display or you don't have some display based on what technology you're using. The install carries out, updates are slipstreamed in there, and somewhere between half an hour later, you should have an Office 2010 installation on your machine. Those of you that sequenced Office 2010 using App V and deployed it that way would be familiar with the block one and the payload one and payload two, and you can see those in the slides up there. You've got the first payload, and the first payload gets streamed down to the computer, and then the rest of it comes down in the background. The user can work on some functionality whilst the second payload is being downloaded,
The stuff that's in the first payload.
Right.
You've got to wait for the rest of it to download before you get the advanced capabilities.
Exactly. So with Office Click to Run, that setup has shifted a little bit. There are now, I think, there's a whole bunch of different payloads now. I can't remember the exact number right now, and that changes. And what happens is the first one gets pulled down onto your machine, and then in the background, all those other bits are being streamed down. So when you saw me open Word before, those other payloads were still coming down in the background. Now, the Office installer is pretty smart as well. If you go into Word and you go and decide you want to do a mail merge or some advanced functionality that's not there, hasn't been streamed down yet, then the Office Click to Run installer will actually recognize that you're doing that. It'll reprioritize its download queue and it'll download the bits that it needs so that when you click on that mail merge button, it actually works. So in the background, the algorithms that are being used to figure out which bits should be downloaded first and which bits generally can wait till a little bit later is constantly shifting. Mm. And Microsoft are looking at the data that's coming back for which buttons people are clicking on really, really fast when they first run their click to run installs, and then reprioritizing the bits based on that.
There's a couple of things in that, you know, that make that really easy. It's really about breaking up that massive package into sort of 25 to 50 meg chunks, so they can stream down in the background. It's great for application delivery. It's great for network load balancing. You don't get that sort of failure rates when you're moving big, massive chunks over the network. If there's a corrupted package that comes down, you can just download that package again. And likewise, in this application delivery model, Office is constantly rehealing itself. So as it sees, if it sees part of that installation corrupted, it'll just download from the network installation point that new approach. So it is self-repairing in that manner as well.
And for those of you who are starting to have concerns about your internet connections and bandwidth considerations and all that kind of stuff, don't fear, we're going to go into that soon. We really do have a highly customizable solution here that will allow you to control at quite a granular level where those updates are going to come from, whether they should come from a local source, be it an SMB file share or a HTTP download location, or whether you're happy for those installations to go on from the public Microsoft Office Cloud. You can also control where subsequent updates come from. You might say you want all initial installations to take place from a local installation source, but your users are going to be running around, they're going to be on the road, out on the internet so often that you think that their updates should simply come from Microsoft. So you've got a lot of control in that respect as well. And the other consideration with the click-to-run install is that, like we said, we really do have that side-by-side capability, and I can't stress enough how much this really promises to break down deployment blockers for Office. The amount of times that files can... There's concerns about file compatibility, about add-ins and plugins, and the ability to run your existing Office installation side-by-side with the new Office really breaks down some of those barriers.
Yeah. We don't expect users to run in perpetuity with multiple versions of Office installed, but it is just releases the pressure valve for you to, if you've got particular issues, or you want users to test, you want some user acceptance testing and those sorts of things, you can do it without interfering with their primary Office suite and all their add-ins and those sorts of things. So it's a much easier way for users to do testing of add-ins, training and those sorts of things. You know, in the past, what we've done with a lot of training is that we've trained all of our users on here's the next version of this software, it's coming soon. And we can only train maybe 20 to 50 people at a time. We run lunchtime workshops and those sorts of things.
You have a UAT team.
And so we do that, and then you know that would take perhaps 3 months before we'd get around to deploying the software and training everyone. Now, in this approach, you can give them the software straight away. You're not interfering with their primary Office suite, so they can start using it, and you don't get that lag in the training as well. So it's really just-in-time training can be supported with this approach as well.
That being said, Alistair, it's all well and good to say, okay, well, look, we can put the Office 2013 bits down onto everyone's computer and they can have it running side by side and they can be working on it. But the fact of the matter is, if you're dealing with a large number of users, you are unlikely to get good positive feedback from all of them as to what's going wrong. So here's something that's actually really interesting, the new telemetry functionality inside Office. Can I get a show of hands? Has anyone done any app compat, used the Office 2010 compatibility tools, OMPM, OEAT? We have the three guys in the corner and they're about ready to come down. Yeah, so those tools, you know, we really had to look at it from a data point of view, from a here's what add-ins are running and let's go and scan our whole file share and have a look at what files are there and then try and make some educated guesses about the types of issues that we might come across from those particular files. Mm. With the new Office, we have telemetry tools built right into the Office installation. So once we push those Office 2013 click-to-run installations out to our users, then the telemetry tool is going to start collecting back information from those installations about which files are being opened, if there were any fidelity issues were found, which add-ins were being used, if there were any problems with using those add-ins, and that stuff is all built in right out of the box. There's no additional tooling that you need to deploy. It's all built right into the Office installation.
It's an important piece. I mean, we've tacked on health monitoring in the past with tools like OMPM, the Migration Planning Manager, the OEAT tools, the OCCI, the Custom Code Inspector, and all those sorts of things to try and give you a little bit more insight into what's going wrong in an Office environment. But now, in 2013, it's just built into the product, you know, from the ground up, so you can sit back and you can get polls of this information. So you can know, for instance, that, hey, a particular user is having troubles with these particular macros. Or you can tell that a particular user is trying to access this file that just never seems to work for them, or that this particular set of machines is highly unstable when it comes to Outlook and those sorts of things as well. So that sort of data that you can now get out of your Office environment is pretty powerful when you're planning even your first migration. And even though these tools are built in 2013, we'll also make them available for you to load as an agent for 2003, 2007, and 2010. So you can start to use this Office telemetry even before you get to 2013. So you can know in advance what your environment looks like, whether there's going to be issues. You know, we've found time and time again that people are very worried about application compatibility. And we had a couple of situations where people were so worried about application compatibility, they had an app that didn't work in 2010. They went back and tested it in 2003. It didn't work in 2003 either. It was a hangover from Office 97, all these other environments. We just don't get that data. We can ask our users to test the environment. We can ask our users to go and check their most important documents. But even if they do, they generally don't report what they see. And you generally can't tell how pervasive particular solutions are. This Office telemetry gives you quantifiable data to tell you how that environment's looking, how many people are using that environment, what version of Office they're running, what macros they're running, and those sorts of things as well.
And really what it comes down to is context. Mm. With the previous tools, they were very powerful. They had a great ability to get in there, find the information, but the information that came back, there was too much of it. If we went and scanned our entire SAN and we had 6 terabytes of Word documents on there, how can we actually sift through that and figure out where we should focus our efforts? If we find 263,000 documents that have some potential compatibility issue, how do we prioritize that? What action can we actually take based on that? So the new tools, they really give you context to that information. They allow you to see what files people are actually working on and what issues have actually occurred. It's also, they also will have a role to play in the day-to-day operations of your help desk and your support teams once you have moved to Office 2013. The telemetry dashboard gives really good additional context when users call up with issues in Office. Mm. So if you have a user who calls up, hey, I'm working on this PowerPoint deck, it's not doing what I need it to do, straight away if the help desk technician can go into the telemetry dashboard and have a look at that document, have a look at that issue, they can see whether that's something that's isolated to that particular person or whether maybe there's 100 people who've used that document and are having the same issue. So right away, they can start to get some more information and say, hey, this is something that's isolated to this user, something that's isolated to this piece of hardware that they're working on, or no, this is clearly something wrong with the document because I've got 100 people on 100 different machines and the telemetry dashboard is telling me that they're all having the same issue.
That's right. I mean, just imagine the sort of SLA you can support when you can actually help a user before the help desk phone rings. If you can identify the problem that the user's encountered, you can proactively reach out to them, you can help solve that issue before they've even reported that issue. That's the sort of thing that we can start to do with these telemetry tools that we're never able to do in the past. So, really powerful thing.
We're not going to go into too much more detail about the telemetry tool today, but like Alistair said, there's a lot of power to do proactive work in there. You can actually go to the telemetry tool. You can find a problematic add-in. You can see, okay, this add-in has several hundred installations across my network, and you can click one button, and it will create a GPO pack for you that you can then use to actually disable that add-in across your entire fleet. So proactive steps like that, I think, are going to make it quite a big difference.
So when you look at enterprise deployment in the past, and when you're doing MSI, you know, it can take 12 months for these projects to roll out and to start deploying users. And there's a whole bunch of things you need to do, compatibility, training, deployment, you know, and this, as an example, this is a 12-month schedule of what that might look like. But if you look at what we can start to do with this new approach to click to run, firstly, you can do your first round of testing much quicker. You just test your tier one apps, your primary users, test there. And then you can start to train, but in the same time as training, you can start to roll out that deployment as well in tandem with your existing Office deployment. And then you can really focus on that compatibility after the fact. You can use these telemetry tools to see which issues pop up, and you can fix them on an as-needed basis once you start to get that quantitative data through the system as well. So we're really trying to be able to compress the deployment cycle in this approach and really moving this from potentially what was a capital expenditure or a project-based piece of work in the past, this should be an operational piece of work. Deploying software, deploying apps like Office, it's kind of the core competency of an IT department. And so we really expect that these sorts of tools, the telemetry tools, and this approach is something you'll start to do not as a project, but essentially as a day-by-day, month-by-month operational task. You can monitor the health, the app compat of all the solutions in your environment. You know, when you think about it, you are deploying on a very regular basis. And click to run, you'll be deploying those monthly security patches and service packs as well. And if you're running a good MSI environment, you kind of have to do that anyway. So that sort of rigor around patch management should really have a rigor around application compatibility as well. And too often we just don't have the time to do the proper app compat testing on big changes. But with this approach, with telemetry, as well as with the speed of deploying Click to Run, it's not such a mammoth task every time we want to uplift that old environment. So, yeah, side by side again. Keep the older versions around. You can install them and run them. People can go back and forth between the macros. If they find something that doesn't work, they can jump back to, you know, all the way back to 2003 if they like as well. But we really don't recommend this as a permanent solution. You know, it almost brings into a kind of a spaghetti approach of you don't want to be managing multiple versions of Office because that just adds complexity. You've got to patch them, you've got to manage them, you've got to install the new ones. And so we really expect that most people to start to consolidate on the primary Office environment to reduce support calls. But just in that meantime, it's just a great way to be able to give people access to either environment that they need as well. So let's just give you a quick demo of side-by-side now and show you kind of what that looks like and how users can go about their work with side-by-side.
So I'm just having a look here, and my demo machine has actually rebuilt itself, so I can put Office 2013 on it in a matter of a couple of seconds. But my Office 2010 installation is gone.
We'll come back to that then.
We will come back to that then.
So let's talk a little bit more about some of the details in Click to Run as well. We have this notion of just-in-time virtualization with Click to Run. What that means is an app V package and a traditional app V package, it's an isolated bubble. Right? There aren't apps that can talk to it. Now, in app V4.5, we introduced things like dynamic suite composition, where you could have apps talk to other apps, essentially pass through the bubble and connect either installed apps or other virtual apps into that Office environment. What we do now with Click to Run, we just don't know at deploy time or design time how many different types of add-ins or types of apps that the user may want to interact with the Click to Run image. So essentially what we have is this tool called just-in-time virtualization. What it does, when it detects a call to an Office API or an Office DLL, essentially opens up the bubble to let that through. So you get all the benefits of isolation in terms of running Office side by side, but you also have the ability to start to let your SAP system or your CRM system interact with Office 2013 as if it was an MSI environment as well. So it's a really powerful thing to do that. It not only works with API calls, it also works with ActiveX controls, macros, VSTO add-ins, and all those sorts of environments as well. So when we think about Click to Run in a managed deployment scenario, there's a couple of things to think about first. There's the package. Traditionally, you get your Office package from a number of sources. Volume Licensing Service Center, you go to that site, you download the package, you package it up and deploy it in your environment. Or you pull it down from TechNet or MSDN or wherever it is. In the Click to Run scenario, we're actually hosting a service that has all of these packages available for you. So you can download the package from the service, you know, with a simple PowerShell command to download that package and then put it into your own software distribution system on-prem. So even though, you know, we call it a cloud-based system, it doesn't need to connect to the cloud to download the bits every time. You can cache that locally. You can push that out in System Center and those sorts of things as well. So essentially downloading those bits, putting them into your software distribution center, and pushing them out to all your apps as well. One thing to note here, in the past we've set those preferences in the Office customization tool. We don't have the ability to set our preferences in the Office customization tool anymore. So we've actually deprecated some of that features. We really rely on the Active Directory group policies to enforce any of those changes that you want to do after install time on the applications itself. So we're not setting up those preferences. And our best practice was never to really rely on those preferences anyway, because while a group policy was enforced, a preference at install time was only a preferred option, and the user could easily revoke that. So we're really relying on Active Directory group policy objects to enforce any changes that you want to the Office client in this scenario. Then using your software distribution center, you can load in any other apps, any other things that you want to bundle with Office as well, and package that up in a very simple manner. So essentially, what happens with the Click to Run self-installation, as we showed you earlier, you connect to the Office 365 tenant, and you have an option to download and self-provision Office. Now, as an IT administrator, you can disable this So users can't install Office from the portal directly. They need to go to your System Center environment, Intune, Tivoli, whatever it is that you're using to do that deployment. But what we're calling this is Office 365 Pro Plus. And one of the reasons we're calling it Office 365 Pro Plus and not Office 2013 is it is kind of version agnostic. Anytime you go to this portal, we'll be publishing a new version every month, a new version, a new build, a new sequence of Office in this click-to-run format. So it's not the same case as a patch management anymore. You essentially have this version agnostic build, and you'll just be deploying a particular month of that at any given time as well, and then downloading whatever's different. And essentially, the software is smart enough to do a delta change as it goes through that environment as well.
So we've gotten through that. Yeah. Well, we've already shown you the self-install experience for Office 2013 click-to-run. So why don't we go and take a look at how the Office Office deployment tool works.
Sure.
And how that all hangs together. I'm sure there's a lot of you sitting out there thinking, hey, look, it's all well and good that I can send my users to a portal and they can click on a couple of buttons and deploy Office themselves, but I manage these computers and I need to be able to push this software out to them in a programmatic fashion. So what I would like to do is start at the bottom and work my way up. We have still an Office bootstrapper that needs to run, and we still have customization and configuration that we can make to that Office bootstrapper to get it to behave the way that we want. We still have the ability to push these installations out through various deployment tools. And so I'm going to start with the Office deployment tool, and I'm going to work my way up and talk you through how some of those different deployment tool installations hang together. So the first thing that you'll notice, and I've in fact grabbed that out of there, I'll just put it back here, is that we only have a couple of files needed to do this installation. The first and most important one is the Office deployment tool itself. So this is actually the Office bootstrapper. It's used for two discrete functions. The first one is for you as an administrator to either manually or programmatically download new Office bits from the Office cloud. And the second functionality that it performs is for the actual user installations to take place on users' PCs. So, how does it know what to do? It has a simple configuration file. Now, if you download the Office deployment tool from TechNet, you will find that there's a sample file, and all of the syntax for this XML is documented as well. But what you'll see in the sample is that there's a couple of sections that you need to consider. The first is the actual add component. This controls which Office bits you're looking for, if you're looking for Office Pro Plus, Visio Project, all the other bits and pieces. And it controls which languages you want to download and which languages you want to install on people's machines. The next section is concerned with which how updates are handled when a user opens a computer each day. Should they be checking for updates? Do you want them to get their updates locally from a network source, something like that? Do you want to get those updates directly from the Microsoft cloud? The next section is concerned with the display level. Do you want to show users anything? Do you want it all to be silent? And, of course, you probably, as an administrator, want to be accepting the user's license on their behalf. And then we've got logging and activation in there as well. So, if I want to download these Office bits to my network share so that I can later stream them out to users' PCs, what would a config.xml file for that look like? Here's one that I put together earlier. So the only component in the XML that we're concerned with to do a download action is this add component here. The rest of the functionality inside the configuration XML is completely irrelevant because we're not actually installing Office. All we're doing is downloading. So the source path value in this case actually specifies where we want to download those Office bits to and whether we want a 32-bit or a 64-bit client installation. In this case, I've configured this one to download Office 365 Pro Plus, and I've told it that I want English, I want Spanish and Japanese. So to keep the demo quick, I'm going to remove the Spanish and the Japanese, but I wanted to have them there just so you can see that it's as easy as that to grab those additional installations. I've also got Visio in there as well. So if I save that, I open up my command prompt here, and all I need to do is run setup with the slash download switch on it, and I'm going to point it at my download.xml file.
So we can ask sometimes, you know, why have we done it this way rather than some flashy website or a flashy tool to be able to do this? And the answer is really that we expect most of you to automate these steps, just have a scheduled task that hits the office and just checks for updates and pulls it down, puts them into your a network install point or your staging area, just on an automatic basis. Because we'll roll out these updates as they come available. Then you can just pull them down and pull them down and then choose whether you're going to deploy them, how you're going to deploy them, and essentially build up your own asset library here as well. The other thing that you can do with this tool is if you want a particular version, for instance, say it's April 2013 and you want to go back to the February 2013 release of this, you can actually do that through this tool as well. So you can say, I actually want the build from 3 months ago, and we can give you that sequence package as well. Because this whole notion of patching has to change with this model. You're getting separate sequences every time for each month's office build as well.
They are, however, delta downloads. You won't have to download all the bits again each time.
So you'll download all the bits
from this tool. From this tool,
but then as you do the patch, your users will only get the delta. So the click-to-run tool is smart enough to realize that if there's a new patch applied to the network installation source, it's going to do a binary differential copy, essentially a delta sync, to say these are the components that are different. So really a patch is much smaller in size than the full download as well. But you only have to manage one image. You don't have to worry about patch states or anything like that, because if people are on the latest version, click-to-run will just update itself to be on the latest version as well.
Okay, so if we have a look there, that's really good timing, Alistair, because that download is completed. So now if we have a look in the folder that we specified, we will see that we've got an Office folder in here, and the version that we called for, and in this case, we didn't specify which version we wanted, so we just got the latest version, which is the 10.19 build, yes? And those binaries are now sitting on our file share, and we can move them into an SCCM distribution point. We can move them into whatever network location we like. We could even host them on a web server and have them served up through HTTP. And they're ready to go. So,
another thing I'll point out here is you didn't need credentials to log in and download these bits. You don't need your volume licensing administrator to go and get you the bits. You don't need that TechNet subscription or those sorts of things. This tool, anyone can download it. Anyone can pull down the Office bits and run up as well. So we're not really that concerned about you getting access to the bits. We want to make that as easy as possible for you as administrators to have access to all the different versions of Office that you need to do your job. And then we just have the activation that's being handled in the background once the user starts up the application. It has that user-based activation.
Exactly. So now that we have the bits downloaded and we've got them staged on a share somewhere, in this case it's just on the C drive of my demo machine here, let's have a look at what an installation looks like. So this is probably one of the most basic installation XMLs you could make, and just to give you an idea of how I created it, this is the sample file that you get when you download the Office deployment tool, and it's as easy as that. So straight away, that there is pointing to a source path that I've configured to the local directory. We've said we want to install install Visio, and we want to install Office 365 Pro Plus. Now, if you wanted to go into a bit more detail about the user interaction and you wanted to make that silent, make it run as a silent installation, you could run something that looks a little bit more like this. So what have I done here? I've turned this the updates on this click to run install, and I've left the source location for the update path blank. What that means is that the actual install will take place from the network location that I've specified here. However, subsequent updates to the Office installation will come down from the Office cloud. You could just as easily say, okay, well look, here's my network location, and I want subsequent updates to come from there because I don't want my users hitting the Office cloud at all. But you have the control to locally stage either the initial installation or locally stage the updates, or both, or neither.
And so these are really the handful of controls you have customizing what that installation experience looks like. You know, in the past when you had those 4,000 controls, you go through the OCT to set that. But there's just a handful of controls now you control with this XML script here. And then if you want to control anything else when the application's operating, again, you'll do that through group policy.
Absolutely. So how does that installation look now here? So we'll notice that on this machine we don't have any Office installed at the moment. And we'll use our silent installation and call it again. So all we need to do now is call the setup.exe with the slash configure switch on it, and just point it to our silent installation XML file. Obviously, you're not going to see anything on the screen.
So perhaps we open up the task manager.
Yep, working on that. So if we go into the task manager, we still won't see anything. We have to hit more details and probably come into here. Oh, look, here we go. There's actually an Office Click to Run installation taking place. And you can see that that's working hard in the background to get the initial part of the installation done. And if we were to watch that for a couple more seconds, we will notice at some point very soon, oh, look at that. We already have our Office 2013 installation here. We can click on an application. It's gone, oh, okay, you want Microsoft Word, I'm still working on that. Let me just go ahead and stream the additional pieces down that you need to open Word, and there it is, as easy as that.
So it's really this notion of installation with MSI was all about laying down DLLs, laying down registry entries, doing the copy and putting the right files in the right place. With that V, it is this self-contained bubble. So you just move it around, and then the installation process is really as fast as a file copy. There's only wiring up a couple of things in the registry, adding the shortcuts, but the rest of it is just a file copy. So really, it's a disk operation that is determining the speed of the installation now. So that's, you know, a significant difference from the 45-minute installation of Office 2010 plus Service Pack 1. You know, it used to be faster to install Windows than it was to install Office. You know, it's bizarre to even think that Windows would install in about 15 minutes, and then you'd wait 45 minutes for Office and Service Pack 1 to install as well. But now it's just a file copy operation as you install this software.
And you can start to make some decisions about how that will plug into your OS deployment functionality and task sequences that you have, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on.
So to kind of compare the different delivery types, this is a little bit of an eye chart, but you'll have access to the slides later to refer to this. It's also on TechNet. But really when we explore these, we have the click-to-run approach, and then we have the traditional MSI approach that we'll still use as well. But really, click-to-run is designed to be Office as a service. It's designed to stream down. It's designed so you don't have to worry about the particular installation itself. You just decide to provision a user with access to Office. And they can either manage it themselves, or they can get it through your software distribution source as well. When you're on the subscription approach, you're always on the latest version as well. You're always at the latest version. You always have access to that monthly version. You don't need to worry about repackaging that, redeploying that, or anything like that. You can just set and forget for your users to go off. Or you can set and check a little bit and then determine, essentially. You just roll out in that setup customization tool and just tell the users' machines what sort of version they need to be on as well. It works offline. So even though it's streaming down, it's a file copy. Once that's installed on your PC, you can take it offline. It is not a Citrix or a remote app type experience. This is installing software. You're running it from the local machine. You're using the local CPU. It's just really, really fast. It's a file copy operation to do the install in this approach as well. Should be noted also that it is something that you need to sign into, and you'll see that prompt when you install Office to sign into Office. And the reason for that sign-in is because that is what is actually doing the activation of the software. So it will go into reduced functionality mode if you don't sign in with a valid Office account as well.
And if you've got Active Directory Federation services set up, you can automate that process so that users don't actually see any of that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a change there. We have to start to think about the identity management components of provisioning these sorts of services to our users. So it's something that we've probably more familiar in the Exchange world and the SharePoint world around controlling user profiles, but it's something that we'll now be required to do for Office as well. But really, it's much easier to manage user profiles than it is to manage devices and where devices go and whether they're managed and those sorts of things as well. Now, we have one other delivery type that we'd like to show you here. On demand.
I'm still working on that.
Okay. So we'll talk about Office on demand a little bit later as well. So essentially, to do this deployment, a couple of things that you need to know. Firstly, group policy. Group policy is the thing that's managing all the settings on your device. Everything else is a user setting that you're managing in the service, or you're provisioning to them in different ways as well. You have that configuration XML, and you have the Office customization tool there as well. But really, as we move forward into click-to-run, we're removing that approach, removing that ability to have that Office customization tool and any other MSI customization tools that you have.
So we still did have that kind of thinking, that paradigm, that we had our Office installation in Office 2010. We had config.xml files that we used to override controls and, generally speaking, configure which parts of Office would be pushed down and how that would look and how that would hang together. And then sitting on the top of that, we had this Office customization tool. And that tool was filled with the 4,000-plus settings, the same settings that were used inside group policy. So we came across a lot of challenges where we would say, well, hang on a second, do we want to be configuring these settings inside the Office customization tool, or are we better off controlling them through group policy so that they get locked down, and then you have conflicts. You have to deal with precedence and what takes priority over what. And so we had a lot of challenges with that. As a consequence, the whole process has been simplified now. You still have the Office Bootstrapper. You have the configuration XML files that you can use to control what goes down and how it goes down. And then the tweaking, if you'd like to call it that, security configuration, control of what features should work and what shouldn't work, is all done through group policy, as that is the most robust method of getting that done.
But it allows you to start to offer Office to unmanaged devices now as well. You know, you can bring in devices that aren't domain joined and those sorts of things, and you can give them this ability because you're managing the user identity separate to that. You can't enforce, obviously, domain policies on a non-domain joined machine, but that's the trade-off when you have a consumerization of IT approach and you're really loosening the reins a little to allow users to bring their own devices and those sorts of things. But you still want to make sure they have the tools needed to do their job in that approach as well.
So we've just gone through all of that. And to just recap over what we had there, the Office deployment tool consists really of three files. You've got the user license agreement that's there for you to go through and then accept in your configuration file, which is the second piece of the puzzle, and the third is the Office Bootstrapper. So, can I just grab the... Mm-hmm. Once again, this slide's a little bit of an eyesore. We really put this information here more for you to download the slides later than we did for you to read it, because I can't even read it, and I'm standing right here. But basically, we have the opportunity to run the download command to grab the bits down off the Office cloud. We can install them, and we can also use this tool to remove Office 2013 components from machines as we need to. Mm-hmm. Once again, I think this is all probably a little bit hard to go through. So now let's talk about how all of that functionality plugs into your existing OS deployment or software distribution capabilities. Can I get a show of hands in the room? Who is using some kind of system center-based product, SCCM, to manage their software distribution? All right, we have about half of the room. Hands up if you're doing OS deployment through another tool, say MDT. Okay, pretty good turnout for that. And hands up if you're using some other software distribution technology that we haven't mentioned yet. Okay, we have one guy up the back who is willing to admit it. Really, the concept doesn't really change between either of them. You've seen already that we have good command line support to be able to download the bits and stage them and then push them out to people later on. So how we envisage these processes taking place is that you would have an admin machine. It might even be one of your SCCM servers or something like that. And on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, whatever it is, you could run a scheduled task that would run that download command and bring you down whatever new version of Office is available. If there's nothing new to bring down, then nothing's going to come down. You can then stage those Office bits into a package and distribute that out to your SCCM distribution points. Once you've done that, you can create you can either do task sequence based installs, or you can create a software distribution. You can configure it, you can call the setup bootstrapper with the configure switch. And you might have a bunch of different configurations for different people, and obviously you could control that through different programs and different command line arguments. And that's how we really envisage that you can kick those streaming installations off. The cool thing is that the users don't have to wait for your SCCM environment to download the entire package from the distribution point. We would see that you would just configure it to run. You would have to download the bootstrapper, but then in your configuration file, you would tell it just to point back to your local distribution point. Users can start working on their new Office software, and it goes from there. So, what if you're looking at doing OS deployment? What I've got up for you next is an example of doing this with MDT. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who aren't familiar, MDT is a solution accelerator that's built by Microsoft and is there as a set of scripts, tools, and guidance to help organizations deploy Windows SOEs out to their machines.
And it's a free tool. You download it from TechNet.
Absolutely. Let's just get that to kick off. Nope, we've jumped ahead of ourselves. Excuse the presenter mode, guys. There you go. There it goes. All right. So let's have a look at what's happening here. So as you can see, we're going through an OS deployment build now, and we can see that the administrator here has already configured MDT to download the Office 365 Pro Plus bits from a local distribution point and install them as part of the operating system deployment task sequence. So Windows goes down and it installs itself. You can see we probably have the fastest machine here because Windows installed itself in about 6 seconds. Probably boots up in a further 5 or so seconds. And before we know it, we're back in our environment and we're installing Office. So once the Windows installation is finished, we can see that the Office job gets kicked off. And there we go. Already we have Office 2013. The user can start using their machine. They don't have to sit there for another 30 minutes during the task sequence while the Office installation takes place silently. They can get onto their machine. They can start working on their machine.
That's right. I mean, the key thing here is it's fast. Because it's just that file copy operation, you don't have that 45-minute lag time when you're doing a Windows build to do all that work as well. And then, of course, you'll sign in to Office. If you have single sign-on set up, you'll just log in with your same credentials that you log onto the machine as well.
So that's all well and good if we're actually deploying an operating system, but what if we're not deploying an operating system? So what I thought I would show everybody next is how that kind of installation would happen with a post-OS install software distribution tool. And in this case, I've chosen Windows Intune. So Windows Intune is Microsoft's cloud-based desktop management platform. Just make sure.
Yeah, we started building Intune. It was a fairly it was targeted small businesses, but it's grown and grown now, so that it does give you a whole lot of new capabilities. This is the new version of Intune, and you can actually work with Office to package up Office and have Office come down from the Office service, but still manage it as part of Windows Intune, so it's not eating into your Windows Intune quota for apps to deliver for the Intune service. So essentially what you're doing here, you know, as you're going through in your document, you're describing up the package that you want to build. You know, it's called Office 365. It's coming from a source. You set in any requirements you want to do. Essentially, you just package this up through the Intune client itself. We'll look for some detection rules just to make sure that Office hasn't installed in the past. We tend to use WinWord as the tool to detect because that's the one that users use mostly. But if your users are Outlook Power users, you may want to detect for Outlook to install first and those sorts of things as well.
So, all right, so what's going on here? We connect to the Windows Intune software uploader. And really quickly, we only need to upload two files rather than the entire Office source. So all we need to put up there is a setup.exe and an XML file to configure it. We set some metadata on it and decide which operating systems we're going to deploy to. In this case, we've said we'll only use Windows 7 or later. Like Alistair said, we're going to set a custom detection rule because the old MSI-based detection rules aren't going to work for us in this case because we haven't installed an MSI. And we tell it which XML file we want to use. Set the default return codes, and in this case, the default ones are fine because just a zero is success or a success with a reboot that we have there as well, and we're done. So what's going to happen next? We're going to switch over to our client machine. Oh, sorry. First, we just need to advertise that software package out to our users. In this case, we've just chosen the all users collection, and we've said, okay, those users can go and they can kick off a non-mandatory user-driven installation from the Windows Intune
service,
software portal. Mm-hmm. And we can see that we've only got about 0.5 megabyte worth of installs there. So over on our Windows 7 client machine, we go into the Windows Intune portal and into the app portal. And sure enough, we've got our available software installations that we can run. and we're going to pick our Office 365 Pro Plus application that we just created. We can pick which computers that are connected to our account that we want to install that on. We might want to install it on all of them. In this case, just the machine that we're working on right now. And that installation kicks off straight away. Once again, we're not relying on whatever software distribution technology we're using to stream down a whole bunch of bits. In this case, that would be quite a lengthy process. We're using Windows Intune.
That's right.
These installation files are going to be running off our from the cloud. So we would, if we had slow connections, we had quite a wait before we could do anything. But you can see here that within literally a number of seconds, we've got an Office installation there, and we're ready to work.
And it's really simplifying the approach that we take to installation. I mean, you might recall in 2007, we no longer recommended that you could deploy Office via group policy scripts. You know, many people were deploying Office via group policy scripts in the past, the startup scripts. But Office just got too big to be able to do that. Now with this approach, this half a meg approach, it's actually a perfectly valid way now to approach Office deployment as a startup script if you wanted to do that. Because it's such a smaller package, it's not going to delay the machine. You're not going to have that issue on Monday morning of 500 users waiting to all try and hit the same download source to download 800 meg, which is why we didn't recommend the startup script approach in 2007 or 2010. So what happens when we move to updates then? And when we're applying updates, very similar to deploying a full release itself, but essentially what's going to happen is that the click-to-run software, the Office software that's already installed in the machine, is going to detect that there's a new build, and then it's just going to do a compare, and it's only going to download the bits that are changed. So essentially what they do, that delta comparison, and then those bits only come down. So it's a seamless transition. You don't have to restart the machine. The user doesn't even have to stop Office for the patching to happen. The patching can happen in the background, and the next time they start Office, they're running in that latest patch level. So much smoother approach to packaging, to patching, sorry. But it's not like patching in the past. You don't have to package up the patch. You're not installing the patch or anything like that. It's just Office repairing in the background and repairing up to that next version of the packages as well.
And probably the most interesting case study of this to date would have to be what's been going on internally inside MSIT, inside the Microsoft Office division at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. So we actually use this technology, and this has been a very powerful technology for us in the development of Office 2013. We actually use this every day. We do daily builds. Our engineering team does a daily build cycle. So every day we get pushed out a new version of Office to really test this approach as well. So essentially what happens every morning, I get notified I've got a new version to install, and a new version comes down on top of the old version and updates it as well. In the past, we couldn't afford to do that. We couldn't afford to do widespread testing. We had to do, a series of releases. You might remember back to Office 2010. We had like a tech preview and a tech preview refresh, and then a beta, and then a beta refresh, and a beta 2, and a beta 2 refresh. And so we had a lot of different builds, and we had to do that in that manner because we couldn't test every single daily build at the scale that we could in the past. Now with this click-to-run stuff, we're actually testing every day. It's actually been quite interesting to watch over the last 18 months, as the software's gradually morphed from what as Office 2010 into what is now Office 2013. As features get checked in, as software gets improved, as bugs get triaged and those sorts of things as well. So pretty interesting process. We use it a lot internally to really test this. Obviously, as we get to production, we'll wind that back to only ship monthly updates, so you won't be on a daily build cycle. You don't have to worry about that. It'll be a monthly build cycle as we package up critical security updates and the cumulative updates in that manner as well. So, a couple of options just to summarize here. You've got the default option, automatic updates from the cloud. So you can set in that custom XML file that you don't even want to worry about patches anymore. You want to let the software just patch itself. You can do that, and that task will run once a day to patch that software. You can set it up to run daily, to set it up so that every day you check for a new level of patching and those sorts of things. Or you can essentially force a patching action to happen by rerunning the software installation. So essentially what you're doing is you're running that same installation script, but you're just telling it, now install a different version, and that will kick off that process through that differential sync and just turn whatever version you're on into the version that you require as well. It's a really simple approach to patching there. You know, automatic from cloud is a great approach if you don't want to manage it, or if it's non-domain joined machines or domain machines for kind of roaming workers that never come into the office or something like that. You can do it from the network. And so essentially what you're doing then is you're just running that Office deployment tool to pull down those builds, and you're pointing all the software to go and look for updates that are managed by you. And essentially then all you need to do if you want to push out a new build, you just drag and drop that folder into that that network path, and then the software takes care of the rest. You don't have to worry about polling. You don't have to worry about your software distribution tools to be able to push out the patch. Or you can do it the manual approach by rerunning the setup tool, and you can push that out with your software distribution tools.
So what I think this means is that we've certainly identified, and we can see that there are a lot of different practices out there in terms of patching, in terms of patching operating systems and applications, and a lot of these are based more on change management, they're based more on organizational requirements than they are on technical requirements. So you as an organization might say, okay, well, our approach is that we have a group of 50 users. Whenever new patches come out, we are going to deploy those patches straight away to those 50 users, and those 50 users don't have any trouble over the next 2 weeks, over the next 4 weeks, then we're going to roll those patches out to the rest of our organization. You might have a more aggressive approach than that, where you say we're going to roll this patches out to this test group and we're going to have a particular test plan that we run through, or you might have a less aggressive approach where you say, look, we kind of trust Microsoft to get this right each time they do it. Unless something goes wrong, we're just going to push these patches out as they come down. So if we jump back to that middle scenario, that middle ground where you say, okay, well, we've got a test group. We want to roll patches out to those people first, and we're going to wait and see if anybody screams. If no one screams for 2 weeks, if no one screams for 4 weeks, whatever it is, then we're going to roll that out to the rest of the organization. So the easiest way of going about that would be to configure the masses to configure their Office installations to do their daily check for updates from a local network source, and then you just control which version of Office they have by which bits are sitting in that source. So you might have your test group who are either looking straight to the cloud and downloading updates every day, or you might be downloading them manually, and then you might have a different network share that those Office installations are looking at. Here's my test group. They get it straight away. Nothing goes wrong. I take the share that has all that my test group is using, and I copy that straight over the top of my production share. And within a couple of days, all those Delta changes get trickled out to your users.
Absolutely. And we're working on guidance at different environments and different white papers for all these sorts of scenarios. You know, it's early days in this approach. We're still in our preview mode. So we're just testing now with a few customers and partners, and even internally, what you know the right mix of these are, and in which scenarios you use one or the other. But yeah, I'd love to hear from you guys at which ones you prefer as you start to use it as well. So feel free to come down to the booth and have a chat about that as well.
The real takeaway is that there's a whole lot of flexibility that you have in how you go about this and how you do it, and the net result is that the end users aren't left waiting, they aren't put out, and they can get on and do their job and be productive faster every time.
That's right. And, you know, it's deceptively easy, right? There's a whole lot of complexities that we used to have to worry about with Office management, but now with telemetry, now with click to run and the deployment, it's a much smoother approach to manage that. And we really want to get the complexity of just rolling out things like Office, you know, right down in terms of complexity, so you can do it relatively quickly, relatively easily, and you can focus on all the other IT tasks that you guys have to worry about as well.
So in a second, we'll probably jump to some questions. I'm sure there's a lot of people have got things going through their head and want some answers for them. But just before we do, what do you think the next steps are for the people in the room?
So you can try it out in Office 365 today. Sign up for a preview tenant. Download from TechNet the Office deployment tool. And we have a TechNet library and an Office 365 blog where we're going through this information in a lot more detail as well. So thank you very much for your time. Thanks for listening. And we'll hang around and answer any questions if you have them. Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Any questions? Yes, up the back. When will the telemetry tool be available for older versions of Office? The telemetry tool for older versions of Office is available now.
Yes. So you can pull it down as part of the preview.
You can pull it down as part of the preview. And so look, we put some links. Oh, they're there as well. I put them into the speaker notes as well. If you want to download the deck. And we've got them there as well. So office.com/preview is where you want to go.
Yeah, I'd really encourage you, you know, if you're planning even a 2010 deployment, you're still going with that, you can roll out those agents, those telemetry agents now. Essentially, all you need is a SQL Express database somewhere to write back all that information to. So it's a very, you know, almost trivial way to set it up. And we provide you an Excel template that will interrogate those SQL databases and give you the reporting capability as well. So, question at the front. Yeah, so the preview, I think, runs at about 800 meg. The question was, how big is the installation after it's fully cached? It's still about the same size. It's a little bit bigger because we've added in a couple of
Visios in this one as well.
Yeah, so in the preview release, it's a little bit bigger. That's the size of the package as you pull it down. It's not the size on the disk.
Yeah.
So it's about 800 megs we're seeing, but that'll change a little bit as we go to launch as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Question? Yeah. Sure. So Office Standard is still an MSI approach. Office Professional Plus is still a standard approach. It's still an MSI approach as well. This click-to-run technology is only available through the subscription service. So we still have those other options available if you want to continue doing it the old way as well.
Yes?
Good question. So the question was, will it automatically upgrade from the preview version, if you're using the preview version, to the production version later on? So there's a couple of points to that. Firstly, the Office 365 preview tenants today won't get upgraded to production tenants. So you do need to create a new tenant at production as well. The software, current plan of record, unless we change something fairly dramatically in the approach, we will just be able to upgrade those build numbers sequentially in that approach as well. But you will need to activate against a separate production user rather than the preview user as well.
At the back. Yes. Yep. Absolutely. That's a really good question. So I'll just repeat it. The question was, is there any user interaction available so that the user can see that the entire Office Click to Run installation is complete, and what happens if they want to enter a disconnected state at some point during the installation and resume later? So the answer to the question is yes. If you have your display level set to full, as we saw in the first couple of installs, you get that Office splash screen. And once you click through the initial first run experience, you'll see that one of two things will happen. If by the time you click through it, the installation is complete, it will say all done, and then it will close. That means it's finished. If the installation is still coming down, sorry?
Yeah, that's right.
Correct. So if they're not looking at it and they just close their laptop down and turn it off, then the click to run installation will suspend, and when they come back on a connected state again, then the click to run installation will take up where it left off and continue the download.
So we also have a notion of failing over to the cloud service. And so if you understand, every version of these sequences are exactly the same. So one customer's sequence bits are exactly the same as another customer's sequence bits. So it really, in the end of the day, it doesn't matter where you get that particular build for. You're only just getting that particular build. So we have an option that you can enable that's essentially a failover to the cloud. So in a laptop scenario, you're downloading at work, then you go home. And you continue downloading. If you've set that right, it'll just start, it'll pick up, it'll fail over and connect to the Office service directly. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. So there are a couple of things that, one, you will, once you're off the network, it'll suspend anyway, unless you set up this failover to the cloud option. So yes, it'll stop. You can continue to work, use the office, and it'll give you a notification of when you've clicked on an area that it hasn't downloaded those components for, but you'll be running, for all intents and purposes, offline, not using any mobile broadband as well. In Windows 8, there's some deeper APIs that you can get out to kind of to tell applications whether you're operating on a mobile broadband or not, and so that's something we're investigating for Office as well, to be able to make those decisions to not use mobile broadband when that's the network that we detect as well.
But I guess the key takeaway there is that if you're installing off a network source and you go home, then you won't be able to download from that network source from your 3G anyway.
Yes.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you can only set one default document open type at a time. So you either choose 2010 or 2013, but then you can either right-click, open with, or you can open from the application itself.
And the user might, you could allow your users to make their own decisions about that. So if they're working with a particular document quite frequently, they could say, okay, well, for the moment, I'm going to go and change my default file type for Word to be Office 2010 for the time being, or I want it to be Office 2013. But by default, when you install, when you do a click to run install, then Office 2013 will take over those file extensions.
Also, it gives you the ability to do things like, a kind of midnight launch or something like that in terms of the installation, where you can use group policy to hide all of the icons and those sorts of things, install the software in the background, stream it out. Maybe it takes you four weeks for everyone to get the software installed locally. Then you just send out group policy change to light it all up, and you can say 9 a.m. Monday morning, 50,000, 100,000, a million desktops are all lit up with the latest version as well. So That's the other benefit that side-by-side gives you, because you're not uninstalling the old one. People can still use the stuff that they've got in the past. All right. Oh, question up the back. Last question.
That coexistence, does that apply also to the MSI install?
It's only the click-to-run that will do side-by-side. MSI, the nature of MSI is it's not a virtualized bubble, so it is going to override the DLLs.
If you download the click to run,
that's a great question.
There is a click to run SharePoint Designer.
There's not a click to run SharePoint Designer application at this stage, but I'll check that out. If you come down to the booth later this afternoon, we'll have a look and see if we can get that working. Yeah, so it's, maybe that's the case. I mean, SharePoint Designer is still an MSI release, so it's not going to do site. All right, thanks, guys.
All right.
Come up to the front if you've got any other questions.
Thanks very much.